NPR.
Back in August, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the BLS, made an announcement that bothered a lot of our listeners. A lot of people emailed us about it.
Yep.
And here is what the Bureau announced. Between March of last year and March of this year, the U.S. economy created 500,000 fewer jobs than it had reported in the monthly jobs numbers. It was a big data revision.
Yeah, and this was part of a normal process. The Bureau updates its figures like this every year. But we do understand why the revisions worried some of you. For one thing, they just showed that the U.S. economy had not been as strong as we all thought it had been. But also, some people just wondered, how could the Bureau of Labor Statistics have been so off?
Yeah, 500,000 sounds like a lot. And, you know, I mean, take this show, for instance. On the first Friday of each month, when the Bureau reports how many jobs the U.S. economy created in the previous month, you know, we have a little celebration. We always have a Jobs Friday. You know, we celebrate. We have an air horn
yep.
that we roll out for the occasion.
No, not yet.
What?
No, not yet. Not yet.
It's air horn time. It's Friday.
There's a reason we
got to
wait for the air horn this time.
In our lives right now, Cardiff.
But you're right. It is Jobs Friday, of course. And the Bureau of Labor Statistics just reported that in the month of September, the U.S. economy created 136,000 jobs. That's today's indicator. But if that number might be revised later, what should we make of it now? I'm Cardiff Garcia.
And I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Today on The Indicator from Planet Money, we explain how the monthly jobs number is calculated, why those numbers have to be revised, and what those revisions tell us about the statistics that we use to understand our economy. Okay, Cardiff Garcia, it's got to be air horn time.
I'm sorry.
We said the jobs number.
Our guest, he could blow the air horn.
What? Yes. You can't promise other people they get to blow the air horn. It's like, who is this person who gets to blow the air horn?
You're going to find out
All right.
after the break.
This message comes from NPR sponsor TIAA, committed to the idea that while most things in life run out, from clean shirts in the morning to a favorite dessert at night, lifetime income in retirement shouldn't. Learn more at TIAA.org/neverrunout.
What's your name? Who are you?
Ben Castleman. I'm an economics reporter for the New York Times.
And that is a local publication?
We're based a couple blocks over in Midtown Manhattan.
Of some note. All right. And every month you report on the monthly jobs numbers, Ben?
Christmas comes but 12 times a year, Cardiff. Do I get to blow the air horn?
Go for it. There's the air horn.
There you go. Yeah. That's the stuff. Ben says the jobs report is probably the single most useful look at how the economy is doing every month. And that is because the jobs report doesn't just tell us how many jobs the economy created, but it also has lots of other things in it, like how much workers are getting paid, the unemployment rate, and how people in different age groups are doing when it comes to getting jobs.
We get tons and tons of indicators all month long, but this is kind of the one that gives us the best sort of fullest picture of how people are doing in the economy.
But Ben also adds that people should be careful about how they interpret the numbers in the report, about how confident they should be in those numbers.
So to understand why, it's important to know just how the jobs report is actually created. So we will start with this. Right now, there are almost 152 million people employed in the U.S.
I take it that when the Bureau of Labor Statistics tries to put together its monthly jobs report, it does not count every single one of those people.
It does not.
Okay.
That would be hard.
Yeah. What does it do?
The monthly jobs report that we all get excited about is based on two separate surveys. They're surveys.
Two surveys. The first one is a survey of 60,000 households. The government basically calls up people at home and asks them questions like, so, were you working last month? Were you looking for work? How many hours did you work? And other questions. And that survey is used to calculate the unemployment rate.
But that survey, the household survey, is not the one we're talking about on this episode. Today, we are discussing the second survey in the jobs report, which is the huge survey of businesses.
They survey 142,000 businesses. And business, right, that can be a corporation. So that's 689,000 work sites.
Okay, so because some businesses have more than one work site.
There are a couple of Starbuckses.
Right.
There's more than one.
I've heard. Right.
I walked by more than one to get here.
We all walked by more than one Starbucks to get where we are. And the government's data collectors ask these businesses questions like, so, how many people were on your payroll in September? And it is this survey, the survey of businesses, that the Bureau of Labor Statistics uses to report how many people are working on the payrolls of businesses in the U.S.
And the basic idea here is that the Bureau of Labor Statistics can extrapolate from the answers in the survey to then estimate how many people are working in the whole country. But it is just an estimate. The country is too big for the government to survey every single business every single month. I mean, there are millions of businesses throughout the United States.
So when the Bureau reports that the economy created 136,000 jobs last month, that is just the difference between how many people were working in August and how many people were working in September. And, you know, 136,000, that sounds like a pretty precise number. But you should not actually interpret it that way, because 136,000 new jobs, that is a really tiny amount in an economy where almost 152 million people are now employed.
So you can get really, really close in the number of people employed in any one month. But if you miss by just a little, that's going to have a huge skew in the change between one month and the next.
So you can see why the Bureau of Labor Statistics would want to know if its estimates are indeed a little off, and why, if there is better data that becomes available later, data that gives a more accurate picture of the economy than the estimates from those surveys, the Bureau would want to revise the jobs numbers with that data.
And that is exactly what it does. And that better data comes from the unemployment offices of individual states, because businesses legally have to report information about their employees to the unemployment offices of the state where they're based.
Our employers report our employment to various different agencies, including our state unemployment offices. Right? The state unemployment office knows how many people work for a company. It knows when there are layoffs. It knows when there are hires. They get what's pretty close to a total count of the number of people who are employed in the economy. And we can add up all those state numbers, and we can get a much more accurate number than that survey from the BLS every month. The problem is we have to wait.
It takes a while to add up all that new data. It's not available monthly, unlike the jobs report. But the data from state unemployment offices is what the Bureau of Labor Statistics uses to make these annual revisions to its earlier jobs numbers. They're called the benchmark revisions. And it was those revisions that bothered our listeners so much.
And what those revisions showed was that in the year through March, the economy had created 500,000 fewer jobs than the Bureau had previously estimated. This revision was bigger than usual, and what it signals is that the economy was not quite as strong for most of last year as we thought it was based on the monthly jobs numbers.
Now, there's a couple of lessons here. Just because the jobs numbers from the monthly jobs report get revised does not mean you should ignore them. They're still really good. Think about it this way. A revision of 500,000 jobs sounds big, but it still only represents about 0.3% of the total number of people employed.
Still, the revisions are a good reminder that you can't trust indicators.
Unsubscribe right now. Right.
Well, maybe not exactly that, but that if you're looking at any one indicator, you have to consider the bigger context. You should try to, combine that indicator with other indicators to get a broader, more holistic look at how the economy is doing. And Ben says there's another lesson here too, which is that you should always look at the trend within each statistic, not just a one-month snapshot.
And so we should be looking at the last 3 months, at the last 6 months. For some trends, we ought to be looking over 5 years and saying, let's look at what the longer run trend is. But if we're trying to figure out, are we heading into a recession right now? Is the trade war damaging the economy? We don't have the luxury of waiting 3 years or 5 years for the quote-unquote right answer. We've got to use the best data that we have available to us now and know that there's some uncertainty there.
Really talking our book here with this episode, too. It's like, look at all the indicators. And by the way, there's a podcast that looks at a different indicator every single day.
And you can't trust them. You can trust us.
You can trust,
can they trust
them
us?
In
trust
totality, right? But
right.
You can't trust any single one.
Any single show?
You can trust the individual show only if you listen to all the other shows.
I feel like I'm a sophomore in college right now. Today's episode was produced by Lena Sanzgiri, fact-checked by Nadia Lewis, our editor is Patty Hirsch, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.